While it was not an outright violation of our contracts, Moss, Byrne, and Carter didn't want to have to deal with the mess if there was a Charlie Sheen-Denise Richards-style breakup. So, technically, we weren't breaking any rules, but it would have been frowned upon, and there was no way I would do anything to risk the partner's respect, especially not Daniel, who went to bat for me every time. So, we walked the knife's edge, alternating between fighting and flirting, both giving me just as much of a thrill. And when the day ended, we left separately, reuniting later at either his place or mine. We alternated to make it fair, but I warned him that if he ever tried that syrup shit at my apartment, he'd be losing testicles. While his breakfast-in-bed routine was hot as hell, there was no way I was messing up my obscene thread-count Egyptian cotton sheets. I loved our angry, high-powered days and our wild, crazy nights. Thankful for right now, I didn't have to make a choice. Chapter 17.
Plans tonight, Harper?
He waltzed in like he always did, not bothering to knock. It used to drive me insane. Now, I didn't mind it as much.
You taking a survey, Pierce?
I didn't bother looking up from my screen, knowing he hated when he wasn't acknowledged with eye contact. It gave me a stupid thrill to push his buttons. He casually strode to my desk, his hand reaching across and shutting off my monitor.
I said, "What are your plans tonight, Lauren?"
There was always something about it when he called me Lauren. Nothing I could pinpoint, but no matter what was going on, how much I was trying to play the game, that one word, my name, unarmed me in the most curious way. "I'm having sex with you." I smiled sweetly, turning to give him the attention he wanted. God, he was sexy. So powerful, yet so contained. Wrapped in an amazingly cut suit. I doubted there was ever a time when he didn't look good, or that he wasn't in control. But the possibility I might see him unraveled excited me more than it should.
"I like these plans."
His finger skated across my jaw.
"But before sex, I want to do something else."
There was an almost childlike glow to his perfect blue eyes while his mouth curled into a mischievous grin. "Dinner?" I teased, desperate to know what he had in mind, but pretending I didn't care. "Dinner would be good, actually. I'm pretty hungry, and it's been a long week."
"I'll feed you after,"
he smirked, reaching across and brushing a kiss against my lips.
"What I need for you to do is go home and get changed. And as much as I like these amazing legs of yours, wear jeans and bring a jacket. I'll pick you up in about an hour."
He didn't kiss me again, pulling back as he took a step toward the door.
"You're not going to tell me what we're doing?"
I stood up, wondering why the mystery. It better not be something lame like hiking or sports-related. I hate that stuff in the daylight. I'm not interested in doing it in the dark. He laughed, hesitating with his hand on the doorknob.
"I promise you'll like it. It's something I like to do from time to time. And it's been a while."
God, I hope he wasn't talking about some weird sex club where he was hoping to have a threesome. Why the jeans, though? Gah, I had no freaking idea. Roman, nerves spiked inside of me, mostly excited but a little worried. He winked, cracking open the door.
"Trust me. I won't hurt you."
And then he walked out. He wouldn't hurt me. I wasn't sure what those words meant. Sexually? Emotionally? Physically? Too many possibilities I couldn't even begin to process. But as dangerous as it sounded, I wanted to find out. Whatever work I'd hoped to finish was ignored as I logged off my computer, grabbed my bag, and left the office. I didn't even bother saying goodbye to anyone, making a beeline for my car, and drove straight home. "Hey!" Morgan met me at the front door of our apartment. It was one of the few times we were getting home at the same time. "Why the rush? You need to pee or something?" I didn't even bother trying to hide my smile. "I'm going on an adventure with Roman. He's going to be here soon, and I need to change." I pushed open the door, undressing on my way through the house. "Bring condoms," she shouted after me. "I have a feeling you're going to be needing them."
My feet barely touched the floor as I quickly dressed in jeans and t-shirt and freshened up my makeup. My pulse thumped wildly as I debated if I looked okay, the knock at the door almost making my heart stop.
"She'll be out in a minute,"
I heard Morgan's voice with Roman responding. I wasn't able to hear what he said, giving myself one final look in the mirror before I stepped out of my room. Oh, my God. Wow. My eyelids peeled back as any words I was hoping to speak got lost on their way out of my mouth. I wasn't even sure I was still able to breathe, my body paralyzed as I stood unable to move. His grin widened, looking extremely pleased with himself.
"You're going to need a jacket, or a sweater."
Roman Pierce, a man who I was almost positive had been born in a suit, was wearing a pair of jeans. Not just any old jeans, either. These looked like they'd been custom-made to showcase the perfect curve of his thighs and ass, like an advertisement for the good time that was promised inside of them. He topped the look off with a fitted black t-shirt, the cotton stretching across his chest like body paint, a leather jacket that he'd left open so I could admire the body paint t-shirt thing happening underneath, and a pair of heavy black boots. And if not for the cocky smile hiding under the slight shadow of stubble, there was no way I would have believed it was him. "Roman?" I finally found my voice, wondering if he hadn't been possessed by an alternate being or spirit on the way over. The man standing in front of me, not the man I knew.
"Sweater or jacket, Harper?"
He tilted his head to the side.
"I want to get on the road."
I nodded, not bothering to ask any more questions because who the hell cared what we were doing when he looked like that? Instead, I ran to my bedroom and grabbed a jacket, hoping I hadn't imagined the whole thing.
"You better bring her back in one piece," my sister warned as I returned, her eyes narrowing as she looked at Roman. "If there is one scratch on her, you are a dead man."
"Noted."
He nodded, not at all worried by my sister's curious warning. She obviously knew more than I did, Roman grabbing my hand.
"You ready?"
There was no hesitation.
"Yes."
His arm moved around me, leading me out the front door as we waved goodbye to Morgan. He decided to take the elevator, his lips on me the minute the metal doors closed. "Roman," I moaned into his mouth, my hands clutching at his t-shirt. "You are so freaking hot." He chuckled, his teeth pulling at my bottom lip.
"Really? I'm not an asshole or cocksucker today? Well, that's different."
The elevator doors opened before I could continue to maul him with my mouth. Which, I guess, was a good thing, because I wasn't sure I'd be able to stop if I kissed him again. His hand draped on my hip as he led me outside, the night air still a little warm, especially since we were wearing jackets.
"Where's your car?"
I looked around, his cherry red Ferrari not anywhere to be seen.
"We're not taking my car."
We stopped at the curb, his eyes gleaming with the same childlike excitement he'd shown earlier in the office.
"We're taking my bike."
I hadn't been paying attention, too distracted by the sexed-up version of Roman who had shown up to take me out to notice we'd stopped in front of a motorbike. Not just any old motorbike, either. It was black and sleek, accented with fluorescent green, and looked like its only purpose was to go fast. "That isn't a bike," I pointed out, my hand reaching out and touching the gas tank. "It is a reckless menace." He handed me a helmet, his grin widening.
"So you should feel right at home on it. Just make sure you hold on."
I watched as he slid on his own helmet, the dark visor hiding his eyes as he threw a leg over his bike. The action so natural, he'd obviously done it a million times before, and yet so completely at odds with whom I knew him to be.
"Get on."
He shuffled forward, his hands gripping the handlebars as his feet steadied the bike.
"She gets impatient if she sits too long."
His voice barely audible underneath the helmet. "Well, that makes two of us," I mumbled under my breath as I pulled on the helmet and settled in behind him. It was probably the hottest non-sexual thing I'd ever done, my arms wrapping around his waist as he fired up the ignition. The engine rumbled, sending vibrations through my body, and as the bike moved forward, it pushed me closer to Roman,
my knees gripping him as well as my arms. I didn't need to be able to see his face to know he was probably grinning. Which was funny because so was I. A new kind of excitement spiking as we took off on the road. He commanded the bike the way he did a courtroom, with confidence and authority. There was no hesitation in his movements, no sign of fear as we traveled through traffic, leaving Los Angeles as we headed in the direction of Santa Monica. There had been no discussion on where we were going, and I didn't care, the landscape passing in a rush as we roared down the interstate. And if I had assumed the beach was our destination, I'd have been wrong as we jumped on the 405 and passed Brentwood and then Bel Air, finally slowing when we reached Mulholland Drive. He turned his head, his helmet bobbing in a nod as we continued down the road, winding around the mountains between the L.A. Basin and the valley, the view absolutely breathtaking. I'd been there once, after graduating high school, with my sister. We'd taken Morgan's beat-up Hyundai and laughed the entire time. But as I rode on the back of the bike with Roman, it felt like I was seeing it for the first time. Everything new and amazing, more beautiful than I'd ever seen before. We pulled off at a lookout, his boots hitting the gravel as he steadied the bike and pushed down the kickstand. The roar and vibration stopped as he cut the ignition and pulled off his helmet. "You doing okay?" His fingers undid my chin strap before helping me off the bike. I could barely speak, my feet feeling slightly unsteady on solid ground as I shook out my hair and wrapped my arms around him. That was amazing. It was by far one of the coolest things I've ever done. And then he kissed me, his lips sweeping across mine with the headlamp of the bike being the only light. My hand gripped his jacket, pulling him closer as he took my helmet and put it on the seat. Both sets of fingers now free to roam over his chest while his found their way onto my ass.
"I like this, Lauren, being out here with you."
His lips moved to my neck as my nails dug into the leather of his jacket. "Thank you for bringing me here. I love it." I kissed him back, each movement of my mouth more desperate than the last. I needed to get closer, the contact not enough as I sucked in hard breaths, my body needing more of him.
"You keep doing that," he squeezed my ass, "and the sex is going to happen sooner than I planned."
"Maybe you need to revise your plan," I teased, 100% okay with stripping down and having him take me right there in the dirt. He shook his head, shooting me a wink.
"Not yet, but I promise it will be worth the wait."
We made out a little more, dry-humping like teenagers until he gently pulled away. I would have been happy to stay out all night, looking at those mountains and kissing him, but apparently he had ideas about dinner or something, so we got back on the bike. My body eased against his with a new calmness as we rode back to his apartment. And there was no doubt there had been a shift. There was something deeper, more intimate between us. It both excited and terrified me at the same time. Was it too soon? We'd known each other over a year, but all of this was still so new. Was it reckless to try for something more than what we had? I wanted it, wanted him, and I believed he wanted me too. But I couldn't shake the feeling that things were too good to be true. And something bad was bound to happen. I closed my eyes and pressed myself against him, shutting out the thoughts of doom. There would be time to think about all of that after, but for now, I just wanted to enjoy being with a man who was deliciously complicated, but also, while incredibly well hidden, was also very sweet. We parked the bike and then ordered pizza, my half without the heart attack processed meat he seemed to love. And when dinner was over, he made love to me slowly on his leather couch. He took his time, worshipping my body with his mouth and his hands, making me come twice before he'd even entered me. I wasn't sure if it had been the night air, the bike, or something else, but it just felt different, and part of that unnerved me.
"You staying?"
He kissed my neck, our arms and legs a tangled mess on the sofa. "I should go." I closed my eyes, not wanting to leave, but not sure staying was a good idea either. I didn't want to ruin it, not after everything had been so perfect. Staying felt greedy, like I was somehow tempting fate. I couldn't risk it, not yet, until I was 100% sure. His hands gripped me tighter.
I didn't ask what you should do. I asked you what you were going to do. Are you staying?
No, I said, regretting it the second after I'd said it.
Okay, let's get dressed and I'll take you back.
His arms unwrapped as his weight shifted. He didn't argue, didn't ask me to reconsider, and I'd be lying if I didn't admit that part of me was disappointed. I'd never been the type of person who'd wanted to be begged, desperately wanted by a man so badly that he'd never let me go. To me, it symbolized weakness on both our parts. But as I watched him get dressed, seeming to be unaffected by my leaving, I realized maybe I'd been wrong. It wasn't weak to want someone, or to be wanted in return. It was human nature, something we were designed to do. I shook off the feeling, ignoring the urge to stay as I gathered up my clothes from the floor. I'm just going to the bathroom, I called over my shoulder as I slinked off naked. Human nature or not, I'd committed to going home, so that's where I was going. He was already dressed when I reemerged, still wearing those amazing jeans and t-shirt, but this time minus the jacket. His hair was still mussed from the helmet and the sex, making him look both adorable and seductive at the same time. You said no to that, I reminded myself, again questioning my decision as I walked over to him.
We'll take the car this time.
He dropped a soft kiss on my lips.
You ready to go?
I sure am.
No, I'm not.
My fingers linked with his as we walked out to his car. He opened the passenger side door and waited for me to get in before going around to the driver's side. Thanks for tonight, Roman. My fists knotted awkwardly in my lap. I had a really good time. He grinned, starting the ignition and pulling out of his parking garage.
Good. That's what it's all about, Harper.
Music played softly as we drove back to my place, his hand occasionally resting on my knee in between changing gears. It felt so good being beside him that I wished I lived in San Diego, the drive ending way too soon. He didn't get out of the car when we got to my apartment. He reached across and gave me one last kiss and watched me get out. I felt his eyes on me as I unlocked the security door, waiting in his idling car until I was safely inside. Then I climbed the stairs to my front door, Morgan waiting up for me as usual. You live, she cheered as I walked through the living room. Good, that means Roman does too. You know I hate motorbikes. I should force him to come sit in on just one trauma accident and see how he feels about those death traps. It was fine. I yawned, suddenly feeling more tired than I'd been all night. He was careful, and it was fun. Yeah, yeah, she rose to her feet. Let's agree to disagree, shall we? I'll see you in the morning. She waved as she headed to her bedroom. Uh-huh, I mumbled as I waved back. I'll be here. Instead of being tucked up beside Roman, I chose to go to bed alone and conflicted. So much for being smart. Dumbass. He didn't call Saturday. Or Sunday. I checked my phone maybe a dozen times to make sure it was on, the battery was charged, and that I had service. And even though all those things had been in my favor, he still didn't call. And the worst part was, I didn't call either. It was exactly like last weekend, a weird sort of limbo where I wanted to pick up the phone and tell him to come over, but I didn't. Because he hadn't called, so I didn't think I should either.
Ugh.
When did I turn into a moron with no backbone? I couldn't decide if the lack of communication made me look like a badass, or if it was just plain stupid. By Monday morning, the jury was still out.
On your desk.
The sound of his voice made my head snap to attention. I had come in early and wasn't expecting to see him so soon. I tried to sound casual, leaning back leisurely in my chair. Why do I need to be on my desk, Roman? He locked the door behind him as he moved closer.
You know why.
Just like last week, he pulled me out of my chair and kissed me roughly, only this time it had been without the argumentative foreplay. There wasn't a lot of talk at all, to be honest, his mouth dominating mine as he edged me to my desk. While Friday night he'd been soft and slow, Monday he was hard and fast. Both of us clawed at each other, him lifting my skirt and pulling down my panties, while I undid his pants and yanked down his boxer briefs. Almost as if the separation had made us crazed, he couldn't get the condom on quick enough, thrusting inside of me the minute he was covered. And I had been more than ready. I'd thought about him all weekend, about doing this, about kissing him, about being with him. He was giving me what I had wanted Friday night before I left, showing me how desperately he wanted me. And it didn't feel weak at all. We both came in a panted rush, his mouth finding mine as he kissed me.
"You have a good weekend?"
His lips moved down to my neck where he sucked my skin hard. I grinned, the sensation driving me crazy while he was still inside of me. "You know, I've had better."
"We should work on that, then."
His tongue traveled up along my throat to my jaw.
"Now that we've taken care of that, we should probably get ready for that 9 a.m. meeting. Daniel will be pissed if we're late."
He grabbed the tissues off my desk and cleaned up before helping me do the same. I straightened my skirt, fishing my underwear off the floor and slipping them back on. "If I recall, last week was your fault." He laughed, standing up to adjust himself in his pants.
"Yeah, all my fault. I remember how much you complained."
He leaned forward and kissed me.
"Now, if you're done tossing accusations, we've got a big week."
"There's the door, Pierce." I pointed to said door. "No one is keeping you here."
"I know where the door is, Harper. I'm exercising my right not to use it."
He zipped, shooting me a wink before he left.
"We'll pick up from where we left off tonight. If your sister is working, we'll go back to your house. Less chance of you running off. I'm not sure I'll be so accommodating in letting you go this time around."
I swallowed hard as he closed the door behind him, my body still tingling from his kisses and his touch. Morgan was working tonight, but even if she wasn't, it wouldn't have changed anything. I wanted him, and he wanted me. I wasn't running anywhere. Chapter 18. There was a certain amount of anxiety that came with Friday. We had spent every night together during the week, but no talk of what was expected for the 2 days between now and Monday. Last weekend we had spent it apart, like the one before that. There had been no discussion and or plan for it, the abstinence more stupidity than anything else. We just said goodbye after our amazing Friday night date until our hello sex on my desk on Monday. And while the first time it had been his doing, last weekend it had been all mine. It was stupid, really, the thought that I couldn't tell him I wanted to be with him on the weekends, too. And while I didn't think he'd spend them with other people, I envied those hours he'd spent alone, wishing he'd spent them with me. My pulse still raced when I thought about it, wondering if he'd thought about me like I'd thought about him. But this week had been different, and I wasn't sure I could quit him cold turkey, even if it was only for 48 hours. The whole day he didn't say anything, made no plans for dinner or ask about Morgan's work schedule, anything to hint that he wanted to see me. Nothing. And with daylight hours expiring, I was starting to get edgy. I didn't want another weekend without him. The sweet burn of addiction licked at my heels as my mood turned to irritation. But I wasn't going to be the first one to crack. It was almost 5 and I was just about to leave when he opened the door of my office, came inside, and closed it behind him.
"Are you going home?"
His eyes snared on the handbag over my shoulder and my phone in my hand. It wasn't a hard deduction to make that I was leaving for the day. "Yes, all done." I gave him nothing. Nothing, as I stood unable to actually leave unless he moved from in front of the door. It might have taken a while, but I was patient. I hadn't come that far to throw in the towel. He didn't move, his tall, strong frame tensed as his eyes moved over my body.
"I'm taking you to dinner tonight. Wear something nice. Pick you up at 7.
"I'm sorry. Did you ask me something?" my head tilted to the side as I narrowed my eyes. I heard a bunch of words, sounded like a list of demands or something.
No, Harper.
His eyes darkened, stalking closer.
A demand would have been to tell you to get on your knees and suck my dick. Me taking you to dinner is continuing with the exact thing we have been doing all week. Do you still want me to ask, or can we stop pretending it's not what both of us want?
I wasn't sure. It was the first time I'd shown him any vulnerability, nervous about seeming weak. I didn't want to assume.
That's the difference between you and me.
His fingers ran up my arms, ghosting my skin before they settled on my chin.
I don't waste time thinking about things I don't want.
He pulled my body flush against his as he kissed me, every part of him unapologetic as his hands crawled over me. It was more than just flirting, the kisses getting deeper as I reached down between us and palmed him, hard. So hard for me, and the doubt and hesitation I'd felt all through the day eased away in a heady, heated rush. I heard his zipper, one of his hands disappearing from my body as he undid his pants. Desk sex had been a Monday thing, something we had used to knock the edge off after the weekend break, a quick gorge on each other so we could get through the day until we could resume our weekday nocturnal debauchery. But it was Friday, and if he had plans to take me to dinner and sleep with me, there wasn't going to be a break this time. We had all night. Why the sudden urgency? What are you doing? My hand replaced his down at his fly, pulling free his hard length and giving it a stroke. His fingers reached underneath the hem of my dress, climbing higher toward my underwear.
You would think with the amount of times we've done this, that would be self-explanatory.
But why not wait? My body wanted him, even if my brain didn't understand it, my mouth kissing him even though I'd asked the question. There was a desperation in his voice that I hadn't heard before, need ringing in each breath as he looked at me.
Because I can't wait.
My handbag dropped to the floor as I reached behind him and locked the door. Mondays seemed safer, everyone too busy or distracted, less chance of them walking in on us when they had deadlines breathing down their necks. Friday didn't give the same assurances, with the odds of someone stopping on their way out the door huge.
Roman, we shouldn't do this here.
I hated saying no, hated that I was the one being responsible, because I loved being reckless with him. He blew out a long, steady breath, his chest falling on the exhale.
You're right.
I'd never heard him say those words, ever. Not to me, to the partners, or in a courtroom. If anything, he'd actively avoided them, using creative workarounds to agree without admitting fault or error. It was an art form, and when I wasn't a recipient of his smooth redirection, it was beautiful to watch.
You think I'm right?
My hands fisted at his shirt, pressing him further against the door.
One time, Harper, so I hope you enjoyed it, he warned. You won't get me to say it again.
I don't need you to. I kissed him again. This time it was me who was the aggressor. His body accepted mine as I rocked against him, needing as much contact as I could get.
I thought we agreed this wasn't a good idea.
He chuckled, letting me set the tempo as he watched with curiosity. I slid my underwear down my legs, rational thought flying out the window as excitement flooded me. He had given me something he'd never given anyone else. Other women might have had his body, occupied his mind, and even shared his time, but the significance of that admission was not wasted on me. His defenses had been lowered, whether he'd intended to or not, and in that brief moment, he had shown me a part I'd never seen. Like I had been vulnerable earlier, so had he, and there was something so freaking hot about that, I couldn't wait either. We did agree, but I changed my mind, so shut up and we'll both stop pretending this isn't what we want. His eyes darkened as his own words were thrown back at him while rough hands shoved down pants.
I need a condom. Now.
My fingers fished into his pocket, and I knew I'd find one there. It had become a habit I was fond of, and right now so glad he was always so prepared. I tore open the package and slid it on him, licking my lips as I rolled it down.
Bend over.
His hands grabbed my hips and spun me away from him, moving me forward toward my desk. With flat palms, I braced myself, looking at him over my shoulder as he lifted my dress to my waist and situated himself behind me.
Did you think I was going to give this up for 2 whole days?
His hands slid up my legs, moving closer to my center.
Not a chance.
Stop talking, Roman, I begged, wanting him to touch me. You're not here for conversation. He laughed, a single finger edging down the crease of my ass, teasing me.
No, I'm not.
He dipped lower, coating himself in my heat.
Conversation is overrated.
One finger, then 2, entered me as my hips rocked against him, the sensation feeling so good, and all he'd used was his hand. That feels... The words got lost in my throat as he played, alternating between thrusting inside of me and rubbing my clit, the anticipation building as the head of his cock nudged at my entrance. Roman, please.
I don't think you've ever begged me before.
He pushed in a little, nowhere near enough as he held me still.
I like it when you beg, Lauren.
Then I won't. I tried to push back, hoping to get him deeper. I don't care what you like. He rocked his hips a little more, giving me another inch.
You are such a liar.
Another inch.
God, you feel so good.
A moan echoed throughout the room, and I realized it was mine, the sound escaping from my lips as he thrust all the way, filling me. More. He didn't stop, finding his rhythm as one hand steadied me and the other played with my clit. My knuckles turned white as they tented against the top of the desk, the tips of my fingers gripping the wood as I circled my hips against him. Alternating between fast and slow, hard and soft, he drove into me. Madness. Sweet madness, and I couldn't get enough. Roman, I bit down on my lip to stop myself from screaming. Please. He laughed, possibly amused that my refusal to beg hadn't lasted long, but I didn't care. I wanted him so much I ached.
Come for me, Lauren.
He thrust into me, and I came apart. My body shook as rivulets of pleasure ran through me, Roman finding his finish soon after. My hand clamped over my mouth as I squeezed my eyes shut, trying to be quiet. Our labored breathing sounded louder in the silent room.
I'm not done,
he continued to move, slowly rocking in and out.
I love feeling you come, feeling you squeeze my cock.
I liked it too, staying still as the tiny pulses continued to radiate through me. Driving home is going to be interesting. I twisted to look at him. My legs feel like jelly. He slowly pulled out, grabbing the tissues off the desk and cleaned us both up.
Don't forget what I said. Dinner at 7.
Yes, I remember. Dress nice. I lifted off the desk and straightened myself. Where are you taking me? I wondered if the dress nice part had been for his benefit or if we were going somewhere that had a dress code. After last Friday's adventure, I didn't care to ask any questions. I knew I was going to love whatever he had planned. Done with removing the condom, he zipped up, giving me a smile I knew meant trouble.
You'll see when you get there.
Great. I should have known better than to expect a straight answer.
Can't wait.
Chapter 19. Sitting in his Ferrari would never feel ordinary. It wasn't that it was a flashy Italian sports car, or that it cost an obscene amount of money. It was that I was sitting inside a Ferrari with Roman. A man who, in the past, I could barely stand to be around. And while my feelings had definitely changed, other things hadn't. At work, he had remained the same, unyielding in his sometimes stubborn stance, fierce and with a tendency to be a prick. We battled across the table as much as we'd done before, with Roman pulling no punches despite sleeping in my bed. He didn't coddle me, treat me different, or give me a break. He expected my best, and I thrived because of it.
And in turn, he was the same brilliant asshole who seemed to have a photographic memory when it came to the law. There wasn't a doubt in my mind that working alongside of him, even if we were on opposite sides of an issue, made me a better attorney. And I loved that he wasn't threatened. I rolled my head to the side, staring out the window as I smiled in silent contentment as we drove. He still hadn't told me where we were going, and other than telling me that I looked amazing, the A-line satin floral skirt and black off-the-shoulder top meeting his standard of nice, he was being cagey. But the pieces of the puzzle started to fall into place when we arrived in the residential part of Beverly Hills, the expensive part, with their big iron gates. "We're going to your brother's house?" I wasn't sure if I was nervous or excited, my fingers curling around my seatbelt as we got closer to Eric's house. "Yeah, it's the rehearsal dinner for his and Tia's wedding, and my presence is required even though I'm not in the wedding. I couldn't get out of it," he said casually, like we were heading to a friend's house for barbecue. "Oh my God," I screamed, my eyelids peeling back to wide-eyed panic. "Stop the car." He ignored both my animated waving and insistence to stop, shrugging like I had been the crazy one. "Why?" I almost choked, unsure of how he could not understand how bad an idea it was. It was as if common sense had been left on the curb somewhere, and in its place was a bunch of dumb. "You cannot take me on a date to your brother's rehearsal dinner," I stated the obvious, because clearly he couldn't get there on his own. "What the hell is wrong with you?" I shoved his arm, hoping he might take the hint and pull over. "What do you mean, what is wrong with me?" he laughed, keeping his eyes on the road and showing no signs of slowing down. "We're going to my brother's house for dinner. It's not a big deal." I scoffed, the amount of ridiculous in that statement almost too much to bear. Even if he wasn't a famous actor, which he is, and even if I hadn't only met him once, which I did, this kind of event is usually for family and close friends, by invite only. "You can't just bring some random date who hasn't even met the rest of your family," I continued, because that wasn't even close to all I had to say on the matter. Not to mention that I was his fiancé's attorney for the prenuptial agreement he didn't want. I don't think he's going to be thrilled to see me, and I'm almost positive they will not want me there. It wasn't that I was offended by it either. I was unrelated, known purely in a professional capacity, and that interaction hadn't been the most pleasant, especially for Eric. I knew I was a good person, and I didn't want me there. Roman dismissed me with a wave of his hand. "Who cares what he wants? I want you there. Besides, he's so freaking happy he's getting married, he's not going to give a shit either way. Trust me, I bet he doesn't even notice."
"He is going to notice," I coughed back the laugh. "And did you even think to ask?"
Again, drawing him a roadmap to obvious town.
"First, ask Eric, considering you are hijacking his dinner for your own purposes, and then me, to see if I even wanted to go. It's like you literally have no regard for anyone but yourself." This wasn't some case he could dictate, and I wasn't some witness he could manipulate. He had deliberately not told me, which just made the situation worse. Because if it were no big deal like he alluded, he would have mentioned it. He might have tried to slide it by me, but I knew his style.
"You would have said no. My way was better."
He wasn't even trying to hide his smile, the whole thing seeming to be amusing. Dead, or at least he would be after I mentally calculated my chances of survival after the crash the impeding throat punch would cause. Old car, safety features in 1972 weren't the best. If only we'd been having the conversation in a Volvo or something with a roll cage. Of course I would have said no. Anyone with the ability to reason and some compassion would have said no. For all the reasons previously listed, and more.
"Well, it's too late now."
He nodded to the familiar black iron gate.
"We're here."
A mix of curse words and promises of grievous bodily harm were mumbled under my breath as he pulled up alongside a metal box, the large gate rolling open after he'd entered the code. "Just so you know," I warned, my fingernails digging into my palms as the car slowly moved forward, "after this is over, we are not spending the night together.
It would be just him and his hand tonight. Sex was off the table. He laughed, his smile dripping with smugness as he turned to me.
I kind of guessed that. Why do you think we did what we did in your office before we left?
You are such a pig. I shook my head in disbelief. I still wasn't sure if I was feeling manipulated or elated that he wanted me to meet his family. Either way, he was still in the doghouse as panic and anger bubbled to the surface.
Come on, Harper. It will be fine.
His hand reached over to my knee. My whole family will be there. Tia's too. You said you wanted to meet the rest of my brothers. Here's your chance. He was right. I was more than just mildly curious about his family. And had this been under different circumstances on neutral territory, I would have loved the opportunity. But for reasons beyond his comprehension, I wanted to make a good impression with his family, and I needed time to prepare. It was like being thrown into a murder trial having done no prep, needing to make up your defense while standing in front of the jury, naked. Don't be surprised if by the end of the night I trade you in for one of your brothers. It was an empty threat, but he didn't know that. You brought it on yourself. He didn't seem convinced, twisting his lips into a grin.
I'm irreplaceable. Besides, they would bore you.
We stopped at the end of the long driveway, pulling up in front of Eric's house. The exterior lights were on, with music from the back of the house spilling to the front. There were already a number of parked cars, with Roman's Ferrari not looking out of place alongside the collection of high-class hood ornaments. I sat in my seat, needing a minute to collect myself before stepping out. The last time I'd been sitting in front of Eric's house in the car, I was anticipating a scene from Donnie Brasco. Now? I had no idea what to expect. It was a wedding rehearsal dinner, for God's sake. Awkward didn't even begin to cover it. Roman opened the passenger side door, having made his way around while I continued my internal debate. He held out his hand to help me out, which I ignored, choosing to straighten my skirt instead. If he was bothered by it, he didn't show it, waiting until I was done before putting his arm around my waist. His hand pressed against my hip as we walked together. His hands on me in public was still new, but I loved it. I took every stolen touch when I could, just in case. I hoped it wouldn't stop, but part of me wasn't sure, wanting the contact and the reassurance that came with it. I didn't argue about him holding me, even though I was mad. I was too busy worrying about more pressing issues, like what his family would think of me, as I let him lead me up the stairs to the front door. We stopped in front of the large wooden door, Roman's hand hesitating on the buzzer.
If it makes you feel any better, I told him I was bringing a date.
No, it doesn't make me feel better, I said honestly, because you calling me a date means you didn't tell him it was me. It's lying by omission, you jerk. I elbowed him, hating that I still found him attractive even though he infuriated me.
I disagree, counselor.
He finally pressed the buzzer, smiling as he pulled me closer.
I gave him every opportunity to ask me who the date was. He didn't ask. You are, in fact, my date, so there are no grounds for the accusation of a lie.
My smile tightened as I heard the door unlock. There's no jury to glamour, Roman. Save the performance.
Wow!
Wide eyes greeted me, the man on the other side of the door surprised as he took us in.
Am I seeing what I think I'm seeing?
Who is it?
Another voice, a second set of masculine wide eyes, joined the first at the door.
Holy shit!
The men were obviously related, with similar features to the man standing beside me, while sporting slightly darker eyes and hair. It was clear they were two of the brothers I hadn't met. Tall, good-looking, and athletic, it was like the Larson family had been genetically engineered for optimum sexual appeal. The thought of them all in a room together made me uneasy. I wasn't sure that all that testosterone wasn't going to make me spontaneously ovulate. Thank God I was on the pill. One of these Larsons was bound to get someone pregnant.
When Eric said Roman was bringing a date, Larson number one extended his hand, his eyes moving between me and the member of his kin whose fingers were wrapped around my waist. I didn't realize he meant an actual person. Hi, I'm Nick.
I accepted his handshake, the warmth of his smile making me return one of my own as I introduced myself. Lauren.
And I'm Dave.
He pushed Nick out of the way, his fingers wrapping around mine as he leaned forward.
He didn't kidnap you, did he?
A cheeky grin spread across his lips. Blink twice if you're not here of your own free will. A real laugh bubbled up my throat, the tension in my body slightly easing. Both of them were not only attractive in their own right, but had their own version of adorable charm.
I can't believe I'm related to a pack of morons.
Roman shook his head, popping each of his brothers in the arm.
Don't you have some dog food commercial to shoot or something?
He bit back the smile. Dave scoffed, puffing up his chest.
That was one time, and I'm still getting callbacks over it. Not to mention, bitches find me irresistible.
He means actual bitches.
Nick slapped his brother across the back.
There isn't a female dog around who isn't attracted to him.
He leaned in closer.
Pity he doesn't have the same luck with women of his own kind.
Roman rolled his eyes, leading us through the door into the main foyer as I laughed, Nick and Dave seeming to enjoy my reaction.
Well, since the idiots have already introduced themselves, there is no need for me to do it.
Roman took turns in giving each of them a shoulder hug that bordered on a tackle.
They are smarter than they look, but sadly they don't act like it.
Is someone talking?
Nick looked around, ignoring his brother.
I swear, sometimes I hear voices.
I wish those voices would tell you to get a better wardrobe.
Roman tipped his chin to Nick's attire, not impressed with the more casual t-shirt and jeans his brother was wearing.
Alex here yet? He's still young and impressionable. There's hope I can save him. Yeah, he's here. Everyone is out back.
Dave pointed to the hall.
By the way, Mom just stopped crying. Now you've brought a girl home, she's probably going to start again.
The revelation surprised me. I knew he wasn't big on relationships, but I assumed that one or two would have made the cut. I turned to face Roman.
You didn't bring girls home when you were in high school? Or college?
I brought girls home.
A grin crept across his lips.
No one happened to be awake when they were there.
Interesting. My finger tapped on my chin, picturing younger Roman smuggling women into his childhood home like contraband. This is all so riveting.
I'll bet.
His hand pressed at my lower back.
Let's go meet people.
Nick and Dave led the way, with Roman and I following out to the backyard. Tables and chairs were on top of a large hardwood temporary floor that had been laid over the grass. It looked as if a room had been dropped in the middle of the yard, the tables covered in white cloth with colorful floral centerpieces. There were maybe 20 people, 25 tops, mingling and laughing against a soundtrack of music and the sizzle of a grill. The setting was missing the usual people in white uniforms, with Eric and his friend Ryan searing steaks on a barbecue the size of a Mini Cooper.
Hey!
A familiar voice called from behind me.
Lauren! How cool of you to come!
It was Tia, looking more radiant than should be humanly allowed. I wasn't sure if we should handshake or hug, since our last meeting had ended with an exchange of money. Not too grand, like I'd asked Roman for. I had totally given Tia a discount and not told him. Tia made the decision for me, grabbing my hand and giving it a quick squeeze, before replacing her fingers with a champagne flute. Like a sideshow in Vegas, the move was so seamless I had no idea where the glass had come from.
Thanks so much for having me.
I lifted my magic glass. Everything looks amazing.
Roman?
He got a regular hug with no beverage sleight of hand.
You should go help Eric with dinner. I'm sure he'd love to see you.
It seemed the Larson charm had rubbed off on her, or she had her own version of it. But I sensed her smile and suggestion that he go have a friendly brotherly reunion wasn't for anyone else's benefit other than her own.
Nice try, Tia.
He didn't move from my side. But I'm not going to conveniently leave so you can ask inappropriate questions. So if you want to ask something, you'll have to do it with me here.
Fine.
She shrugged, not looking surprised her plan had been foiled.
Just an FYI, I totally knew you guys were together.
I wasn't sure how or what she knew, but it made me slightly uncomfortable. Maybe it was because I wasn't sure what I knew, the situation currently undefined, other than we were spending a lot of time together even when we weren't having sex. It wasn't that I was worried about Roman sleeping with anyone else, either. Unless you counted the couple of weekends that he wasn't with me, there hadn't been the time. He might not be the most virtuous man I knew, but I doubted he was a complete piece of shit. You know, maybe I'll go say hi to Eric. I gave Roman's arm a squeeze, deciding I should bite the bullet and get all the awkward out of the way all at once. And then I could leave Roman to deal with Tia's questions on what we were or weren't doing. I almost wanted to stick around to hear the answers, except I was worried I might not like them. Feel free to grill him while I'm gone. I gave them both a wave before Roman had a chance to stop me, Tia grabbing his arm as I walked away and holding him hostage. I'd already decided I liked her, but the extra assist had definitely won her extra points. Eric's eyes lifted as I strolled over, taking a swig of his beer as he handed a large pair of tongs to Ryan before he stepped away from the grill.
Lauren.
He nodded, giving me a warm smile.
Nice to see you again.
It still didn't feel normal to see him in an informal capacity, one that wasn't separated by a big screen, or at the very least some barriers and a red carpet. But to his credit, and unlike his brother, his ego was missing in action, the look on his face lacking any hostility. If he wasn't happy about me being there, he was doing an excellent job of hiding it, the kindness seeming genuine. I want to apologize for Roman's insensitivity. I'd decided the direct approach would be for the best. I hope me being here isn't a problem.
Not at all, he grinned, taking another swig of his beer. You don't think I would have let him invite any stranger to my house, do you? When he asked if he could bring a date, I knew it was you.
Well, at least one of us knew. I tried to smile, still undecided on what I was going to do to punish Roman. Has he always been such a selfish prick? He laughed, the trademark Larson charm shining through.
He likes everyone to think so, but trust me, he isn't as bad as he pretends to be. He can be pretty considerate and easygoing, too.
We are talking about Roman, right? I joked, only barely catching glimpses of his easygoing side. Last Friday had been the first real time, and previously at the bar, but then I had suspected it had been for ulterior motives.
One and the same.
He looked over at his brother, who was still being held captive by my new favorite person, Tia.
He skews the truth to get what he wants, and he's pretty slick at it, too. But he's not a complete degenerate. He won't outright lie or cheat. It's a fine line, but it's there. But you already know that, or you wouldn't be here.
I didn't really have a choice about being here. I laughed with a casual shrug. He didn't tell me where we were going. Eric shook his head, his blue eyes almost identical to his brother's, gazing at me with more understanding than I would have liked.
I meant, with him.
With all your money, you could have hired someone to cook for us.
Roman came up behind me, at some point having escaped from Tia's interrogation.
When did you get so cheap?
Since I am trying to avoid tipping off the press I'm getting married tomorrow.
Eric grinned at his brother.
It's bad enough they already suspect. The less activity I have around the property, the better. Besides, I'm perfectly capable of handling my own grill. It gave me a chance to use that prenup you guys drew up as kindling.
He raised his beer with a toast, grinning as he took a swallow. Roman bit back his grin, swinging his hand around my waist.
You know burning it doesn't void it, moron.
As far as I'm concerned, it does. You live your truth, I'll live mine.
Eric tipped his chin to me.
Enjoy the rest of the night.
He wandered back to the barbecue, leaving us alone. Roman gave me a satisfied smile.
See? I told you he wouldn't give a shit. You should listen to me more often.
You enjoy your time with Tia? I ignored him and his smugness. Seemed like you were having a nice chat. He shook his head, barking out a laugh.
Let's go meet my mother and my younger brother. It's doubtful you'll get a chance after dinner. Eric's cooking skills are questionable at best, and we'll probably all end up in the emergency room.
With his hand around my waist, he guided me over to a stunning blonde woman who didn't look old enough or crazy enough to have given birth to 5 sons.
"Mom, this is Lauren Harper. We work together, and she's also my date."
He gave me a smile.
"Harper, this is my mother, Kate."
"Oh, Roman." Kate sniffed into a tissue, trying to wipe up her tears and compose herself. "I'm so happy to meet you, Lauren."
"It's lovely to meet you, too." I held out my hand. She grabbed it and gave it a quick squeeze.
"I'm not sure why you are crying." Roman rolled his eyes. "Eric's just getting married. They aren't even moving."
"You hush." She gave him a playful nudge. "I'm allowed to cry if I want to."
"Wow, you're Roman's date?"
A tall but thinner and younger version of Eric and Roman appeared by his mother's side.
"I thought Nick and Dave were kidding."
I wasn't sure how it was possible, but every single one of those boys was gorgeous. Surely one of them should have, by law of averages, been less handsome?
Shorter, at the very least.
It seemed statistically impossible, but there it was in front of me.
"Lauren," I shook his hand. "You must be Alex."
"I am." A cheeky grin spread across his face.
"Does he talk about me a lot?"
"I had such high hopes for you, Alex."
Roman sighed, pretending to look annoyed.
"You were my favorite."
After a few more back and forth between the brothers and some chiding from Kate, we settled into an easy conversation. Roman introduced me to Tia's family, as well as her best friend Leela, who was also dating Ryan. And lastly, he introduced me to his father, Jensen, who was as far removed from Hollywood as possible by being a biomedical engineer of all things. Jensen was more reserved than his sons, happy to sit back and enjoy the evening with his wife Selena. He and Kate had been divorced for over a decade, but still maintained a very civil and amicable relationship. It was encouraging to see, honestly. In our line of work, people being friendly after they divorced wasn't the norm.
"If everyone can grab a seat, we're serving dinner."
Eric called everyone to attention while he and Ryan carried over trays of food to the tables. It was still weird being there, but after another couple of glasses of champagne, I embraced the strange and went with it. "So, you're thinking of studying law?" I turned to Alex, who had conveniently sat next to me. I think he'd been hoping to irritate Roman, who was on my other side, but if he was annoyed by it, he wasn't showing it.
"Yeah, 2 more years of undergrad."
Alex sipped a beer, despite being just shy of turning 21.
"Hoping to stay at Berkeley for law school. New England is too cold for me."
"He was coddled too much as a child," Roman weighed in.
"Still, I guess it could be worse. He could be going into show business like the other clowns I'm related to."
The disgust on his face would have been believable except for the smile he was wearing.
"Roman is just jealous because he has zero talent."
Dave wandered over to our table, dragging over a chair with him.
"He also has zero personality, so it's just as well he chooses to spend most of the time in an office."
He took a seat near Alex. Roman took it in stride, throwing a few clever barbs of his own back, but was surprisingly relaxed. "Your family is pretty great." My shoulder nudged his. Everyone else had moved from the tables and was once again mingling, leaving us alone. He looked over at his brothers, all of which were laughing.
"They're okay, I guess."
Which brings me to my next question. What are your plans for tomorrow?
"Isn't tomorrow the day of your brother's wedding?" I asked, figuring that I wouldn't see him until probably later. Roman rolled his eyes, his arm relaxing on the back of my chair.
"I assume so, unless they both come to their senses in the next 24 hours and call the whole thing off."
My fist gave him a playful bump on the arm. "I know you said marriage isn't your thing, but you could try being happy for them." I gestured to Tia and Eric, both of them looking outrageously in love.
"Yeah, whatever."
He ignored their loved-up display and turned back to me.
"Tomorrow, are you free? I want to see you."
"What are you asking me?" I was careful not to assume anything because with Roman, you just couldn't tell.
He might have been inviting me to be his plus one to his brother's wedding, this time giving me the courtesy of a heads up before thrusting me into a family function. Or he might have been using me as an excuse to get out of it, in the same way a shady boyfriend asks you to be an alibi when he knocks over a liquor store.